Medusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Oh! Hey, wow. That was pretty good, Wendy.
Yeah. I got my wolf howl down.
Awesome. Hey, so we have the president and founder, Dr. Maureen Hackett, on of Howling for Wolves. And Howling for Wolves is a Minnesota grassroots organization protecting wolves for future generations. Yep. So we want to say welcome, Dr. Hackett.
Hello. Thank you for having me. And those were great howls. I just love it, and I think about all the sounds of nature and how they touch our hearts and inspire us and give us a sense of peace and knowing there's something good in the world, especially the howl of the wolf.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, we do it every day. Every day we howl.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, the name Howling for Wolves came from wanting to have the voice of the wolf in the name to emphasize and advocacy. So I think we managed that with the name Howling for Wolves.
Mm, yeah. And you do such great work in Minnesota protecting wolves. And I do have a question for you if you can answer it. You know, I'm sure that you heard about the Wisconsin recent wolf hunt in February. It was literally a bloodbath, and it
of course
broke my heart. And it terrifies me, Dr. Hackett, that something like this can happen here in Minnesota. Is it possible that a bloodbath like that will happen here in Minnesota?
I think it's quite possible, and I think people need to take an action on our webpage to emphasize that they don't want to kill wolves for sport. They don't want to kill wolves for really any reason, and that's why we're advocating for non-lethal wolf plans, because killing wolves harms all wolves. It's not just the wolf that is killed that is harmed by wolf killing. And I don't even call it hunting. They use bait, they use dogs, and in Minnesota we may not use dogs, but we certainly use wire snares, we use baits. And I think what it does, not only it's so disrespectful, it's so horrific, but it's bad for our society because it kind of says, you know, we're going to let you legally do this behavior, which is essentially animal cruelty, and it's not even a quote sport. So yes, I think it's possible. I know that we have a lot of wolf pro-wolf legislators, and so it's not going to happen without a fight. But it is in our law that they may have a wolf hunt, so it's really up to our Department of Natural Resources. And currently in the legislature, there have been bills introduced to have a wolf hunt and to have it soon and all of these things. There's also bills introduced to ban wolf hunting. That's our side. And so with those bills, if either one gets introduced, then the other one will be introduced. And so there could be a legislative fight, but I don't think so. I think we may have stopped that, but that doesn't mean the DNR cannot go forward with a hunt. They can. They may have a hunt. So it's really going to be up to our Department of Natural Resources, which of course our governor is the executive, branch, and that is their, agency. So it is very important that we have people taking action on our website at howlingforwolves.org. Take action. Just click on the take action or put it in your phone, howlingforwolves.org /take action. No space needed between take and action. And you will get to a page where you can sign your name and your legislator and the governor will get a message from you. And you can edit the message. Be respectful. We want people to talk to you. And tell them you don't want a wolf hunt, but not only that, you want non-lethal wolf plans. And that's what it says in the letter you will see on our website. And it's basically reinforced to the governor that he is correct. He initially has said a year ago, in 2019, we had a wolf hunting ban passed in the House, not in the Senate, but in the House by a slim margin, but we passed it and on the floor. And the governor then was asked whether he supported that bill, and he had essentially given support to the fact that we don't need wolf hunting. But we want to help give him the political cover. We want him to know that he is correct, and we want him to know that he is correct that you don't really need to cull wolves. You don't need to control wolves. They are an apex predator. They control their own numbers. Socially and biologically, they have the structures to control their own numbers. So we don't need to cull wolves. Wolves will die around humans due to cars, diseases, wolf competition, even for territory, starvation, all kinds of things the wolf faces just to survive. We don't need to be killing them.
Yeah, you know, I think in our benefit, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan is a Native American, and she is from the Wolf Clan. And she has, you know, been on the show before, and she, you know, says that when a wolf is shot and killed, and a trophy hunter goes and kills a wolf in such a manner, it's like killing one of my relatives. So I'm hoping that she does have a strong influence on Governor Walz. But I do know and remember that he is supporting no wolf hunt. So I hope that that does help us.
I think it absolutely helps us. And right now, what we are focusing on is absolutely stopping a wolf hunt, for sure. Mm-hmm. But even with federal protections, our wolf population has suffered. Even with federal protections, we have had wolves legally and illegally killed to the point that our wolf pack sizes are the smallest they've ever been measured.
Yeah, I read recently pack- that... Go ahead.
Oh, that's right, go ahead.
Yeah, I read recently that the wolf packs are down to like 3.5 animals per pack. Is that correct?
Yes, and if you count half an animal, I don't know how you do that. So it's really about three wolves per pack.
Right. Yeah.
And it's terrible because the wolf pack is a group, family group, of intergenerational wolves that raise one litter of pups. And not many pups survive. Many die of starvation. Wolf pups require food, a lot of food, and so when you have a really small pack size, you actually increase the likelihood that there's going to be a conflict with livestock. Mm-hmm. Because they're going to go after easier food.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't hunt the deer and protect their pup at the same time. So they may have to hang out near a farm and leave the pup alone and then run for the calf. Because a wolf, it requires wolves to protect the pups while other wolves go out and hunt. And then they have to bring enough food back that they can feed the pups and feed themselves. And so it requires more than one wolf or two wolves to raise pups. And so if you have three wolves per pack, well, is that a young third wolf? What is that? Two parents and a young wolf? Is that one parent and two young wolves? The policies in Minnesota allow a federal agency, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Wildlife Services from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, not Fish and Wildlife, Department of Agriculture, agent comes out and decides, well, this must have been a wolf that killed the cow. So yeah. He then places baits and baits those wolves back to the place you don't want the wolves. And then he doesn't do any DNA testing or anything like that, so he doesn't know whether the wolf he caught is a wolf that did anything. And so basically a wolf may not have even been there in the first place, but was baited on with the smelly bait, and he uses snares, he uses foothold traps, and he kills the wolves. And he killed 221 wolves in the year 2020 for 83 calves and cows killed. On less than 80 farms.
That's heartbreaking. It really is, Dr. Hackett. I'm with you. I want to protect the wolves. 2 weeks ago, I called my House representative and my senator to talk about saving wolves and the bill to, you know, no wolf hunt. So, and we had a whole big group of people. And I know people have been calling the governor and talking to their representatives. And I hope that that helps.
Oh, it will help. And you know, what also helps is Howling for Wolves has been very proactive with understanding the perspective of the side of the farmer. And so we started a long time ago advocating for non-lethal methods funding for farmers, and we actually had bills sponsored and brought through committee. We did it rather quietly because many people who support farmers and funding for farmers don't support the wolf. And so we were quietly behind the scenes. A lot of stuff that we do is quietly behind the scenes. We try to emulate the wolf. We try to be humble. And we had funding for farmers to use non-lethal methods, including veterinary care for their livestock guard animals, which we would love it if more farmers would use livestock guard animals like donkeys and dogs, but also fencing, flattery, and lights and noises. And so every year now there's a fund that is in the legislature's agricultural bill for budget, the agricultural budget. There are funds for non-lethal prevention methods for farmers that they apply to this fund, and we managed to get, because we had it through the committees and into law 4 years ago, while the wolf was protected, our state received matching federal funds. So Howling for Wolves actually did that. We got that funding done. And the other thing that we did is very early on, when we could not stop the first wolf hunts, we decided to be a little more proactive with other ways of bringing the wolf up and keeping the wolf top of mind with legislators. So we had bills all the time in committees being heard, and one of them in 2014 was all about data. What do you know about the wolf? Do we have, you know, and it was asking for all this information on the wolf. Well, the only thing we did get passed into law out of that bill was the Department of Natural Resources is required to post every quarter all known wolf deaths. So if a wolf body is found and it is thought to have been hit by a car, or it is thought to have been illegally killed, or die of starvation, whatever, it's supposed to be posted, and it is posted on the Department of Natural Resources website and updated quarterly. Howling for Wolves makes sure that the Department of Natural Resources posts that, because our wolf numbers are only estimates, and they're guesstimates by my, that's my opinion. You can find out how they estimate wolf populations on our website. We have a little 3-minute video, but a wolf body is a real thing. So I wanted to count the dead bodies. I wanted people to know. And I know that illegal wolf killing is happening now. Mm-hmm. And with, we now know, scientifically shown just in the last month, that with legal killing, with decreased protections of even one of the highly endangered Mexican gray wolf population, comes more illegal killing.
Wow. Dr. Hackett, can you stay with us for one more segment? We got a quick break. We've gone over time. Can you stay on?
Sorry. Okay. Sorry about that. Yes. Yes, of course.
All right. Awesome. Cool. Hey, welcome back to the Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice, and Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl!
Right on, right on. Hey, we're here. We're holding over because of all the great information Dr. Maureen Hackett is bringing us. And she's a president and founder of Howling for Wolves. And Wendy, you guys are having a slam dunk conversation. Let's pick up with that because I know Howling for Wolves, really, we were talking about them helping and getting the support for these farmers mm-hmm. and ranchers to do non-lethal. Mm-hmm. Let's go from there again.
Yeah. Dr. Hackett.
Yes, hi. So what I was saying was with legal wolf killing, comes more illegal wolf killing. This has now been shown scientifically that people will cryptically or in a very hushed way kill wolves. And the way that this was proven with the Mexican gray wolf was through a lot of hard science. And this occurs more. In that study, it showed 121% more when protections are reduced, even for the critically endangered Mexican gray wolf. So in Minnesota, we know that when the wolf lost protections, there was more illegal killing, and there was absolutely a lot of legal killing. So what concerns me in Minnesota is that while we may not have a wolf hunt, we have a wolf plan that is so egregious and kills, basically sets up a trap line throughout two-thirds of the state with unlimited wolf killing, seriously. The way the laws are written, you can kill a wolf to protect your property. And to protect is not defined. It doesn't require you to have even seen the wolf. You just have to suspect the wolf is around, and then you could bait the wolf and have it killed. And this you can do if there's been a problem within the last 5 years, but I know that they weren't even following that very generous clause back in 2014. I have conservation officer reports in writing where wolves were killed just for showing their paw track and then baited and killed. So that is a problem. Now, the other issue, so we're working on that. Howling for Wolves at least is represented on DNR's wolf plan panel. They're rewriting the wolf plan. And we are advocating for all non-lethal methods. Now, the other issue is when you kill wolves for livestock predation, it doesn't really help the livestock predation issue according to a very good scientific data back from the early 2010s by a guy named Wilgus, but he lost his job over it with Washington University, but he came out and showed that when you have suspected livestock predation and you kill wolves, you have more livestock predation the following year unless you kill over 25% of the population, which that is unsustainable. So wolf killing in response to livestock predation doesn't work for the wolf for sure, but it also doesn't work for the livestock owners. Mm-hmm. And third, we are killing wolves on public lands. We are killing wolves all the time. So we don't, you know, to quote, protect. And so we want to get in there and say we need all non-lethal plans, and this includes no killing at all on public lands. If you are leasing public lands for grazing, you shouldn't be able to go on there and kill wolves. Mm-hmm. But I would say this. I want to empower farmers, and I want to say, okay, obviously if a wolf is pursuing your calf in the act of it and you're witnessing it, nobody's asking you to have to stand by. You could protect your property right then and there from the wolf. But let's not have this after-the-fact baiting and trapping of wolves by livestock specialists, you know, from wildlife services using smelly baits and up to a mile out for 60 days anyway.
Well, you know, before we let you go, I want you to bring out again the information you want people to call to action, and also your website again, if you could do that, Dr. Hackett.
Yes. So people can take action at howlingforwolves.org. Take action. Click on it, and it's basically a letter to your state representative and to the governor. Now, we may be getting a federal action, which will go to President Biden, asking for the wolf to be federally protected again. Other groups are doing that. And we may give other people who are not from Minnesota but come to our site a way they can take action for that. But howlingforwolves.org, click on Take Action. And basically, we need a paradigm shift. And the paradigm shift is non-lethal, non-lethal, non-lethal. And that's the way we should be in society. You know, why are we killing all the time? We have the wolf is a casualty of a clash of cultures, really, and the culture of killing needs to go.
Exactly. So thank you so much for stopping in with this much, much needed information, Dr. Hackett.
You are very welcome, and thank you for having me, and thank you for what you do.
Right on, Peenie Geegee. Wow, Wendy. Unbelievable.
Yeah, Dr. Maureen Hackett is fantastic. She's a wealth of information, and she really is passionate about the wolves, as I am too.
Yeah, she's president and founder of Howling for Wolves, a Minnesota grassroots organization protecting wolves for future generations.
Mm-hmm.
So again, wow, much needed information. Things that we talk a lot about here on, mm-hmm. Your sacred animal section,
yeah.
But it's great to hear, from the horse's mouth.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
To speak.
Yeah. I love the fact that she talked about how when the pack is, damaged and the, mm-hmm. the pack is smaller, it causes more damage because they can't leave the pups and go hunt for these large elk and deer, that they have to go sit by the farm and wait for a calf to walk by because the wolves are with their pup, and that's an easy kill, you know, so.
Yeah.
It just makes perfect sense.
Well, and I guess just being sick and tired of this culture of
mm-hmm.
killing crap.
Yes.
That's kill something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think of South Park and the uncle from the Vietnam vet would just say, it's coming at you, and start shooting stuff.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, it's funny, but, it you know, they have, you know, South Park has a message, and the message is there's crazy people out there like that, and there's mm-hmm. a lot more than we know.
Yeah, yesterday I was going to bring this up. I don't have time. Maybe I'll talk about it tomorrow. But Montana Governor Gianforte, he killed a black wolf in Montana, and he's getting a lot of flack about it. It's in all the newspapers, so I'll talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you have plenty to talk about every day. It's just
there's more than enough. And
yeah.
It's,
I think tomorrow's positive Friday,
yes,
though.
It is, though.
Hey, I would like to thank, first, before I get going to end the show, I'd like to thank Lasha Tilson, for being on and talking about the COVID hotline. And also, of course, Dr. Hackett, Wendy Pienaar for all those great questions, and Ogama, great news.